Well, I didn't introduce my sister and brother-in-law, Steve and Jeannie Bellinger. They've been here before, but I'm really happy to have them here, and I'm sure you are too. Yes. And one of the reasons that you're so happy that they're here is Jeannie likes to weed the garden. Yay. The invitation's still open, however. This morning we're going to be looking in Acts chapter 3. If you'd like to turn there, Marilyn, would you come and read our scripture for us, please? Yes. Oh. Yeah, that's... Okay, we're in Acts chapter 3, verse 11.
Now as the lame man who was healed held onto Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us, as though by your own power of godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you to the prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you, and it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people.' Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel, those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, 'And in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed.' In you, first God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities."
And the Lord add his sound effects to the reading of our scripture. Apologize for that. But thank you, Marilyn, for reading. And let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you that as we come this morning, you desire to meet us here. You desire that we learn your word, that we apply it to our lives. And so we ask for your leading through the Holy Spirit as we look to the scriptures today, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, many years ago, in order to gather a crowd on the streets, the Salvation Army band played, And then as people gathered around the ban, then someone got up and spoke and shared a biblical message. I understand, I haven't seen it, but I've seen recordings of another kind of gathering in malls. I think they call it a flash mob, don't they? And one person starts singing, and then pretty soon others start coming in and start singing with them. And pretty soon you have a large group in the center of a mall and gather a crowd around you. Well, in the book of Acts that Marilyn just read in chapter 3, something had happened and a huge crowd of people gathered around. And you recall that the beginning of chapter 3, it was that a lame man, over 40 years old, he had been lame from his birth, and he was healed by Jesus. And this is amazing. They had never seen anything like this before. Someone that had never, ever walked suddenly be strong enough and be healed and able to walk and leap and praising God. And so that gathered a crowd around. And so we're going to focus on that message today. But a key verse is the last one, the last verse of the chapter. And Peter is preaching to these people that have gathered around. He said, in verse 25, "You are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, 'Through your offspring, all peoples of the earth will be blessed.'" That offspring was pointing ahead at Abraham's time to the Lord Jesus Christ, that all nations would be blessed through him. So then he says, Peter says, "When God raised up his servant," which is Jesus, "he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways." And so as we go through this message, I'd like for us to have in our minds the intent that Peter had was to point out that God is still blessing his people. And we are included in this. In this promise, we also are included that God still blesses by turning people away from their wickedness, away from their sin. And so keep that in mind, please, as we go through this. Well, first of all, Peter made it clear in his message that the people had made a terrible choice. The beggar was holding on to Peter and John and just exclaiming how God had healed him. The people had gathered around and they were in the temple. And I understand, since the temple isn't standing anymore, it's hard to have that illustration. Shinogo? Everything is quiet, waiting on you, Kath. Yeah. And the reason we do this with the phone, there are a lot of people that are away from the church that are watching online, and it doesn't seem to want to go. Doesn't have to be perfect. Yay. She also cooks. Well, with this crowd that is gathered around in the temple, and since the temple isn't standing, I have to go back and believe what the commentators have written. History and others in that time of the Lord Jesus that wrote of Solomon's colonnade, and it was a wide hallway on the side of the temple, and it was to get around to the different areas of the temple, that people would congregate there. And when the lame man was healed, that was just the reasonable place to be. And someplace large enough, not interfering with the priests in their duties, and he could preach this sermon. And the miracle proved that God is involved in lives. And so Peter's going to accent that God is involved in people's lives. He healed this man. When we think about God being involved in our lives, how do we think of him? And how do we present him? He is a compassionate God. He's powerful. And he's willing. There have been books written about the weakness of God, and that if someone prays for something and it doesn't happen, it must mean that either God doesn't care or God is unable, not powerful enough, which is neither answer is right, because God fulfills his purpose. God fulfills his will, and perhaps it's not his will to heal the way that we would expect him to, or we would desire that he would. Sometimes it's his will that good people, godly people, go through troubles times. The times we are in now, God is allowing us to go through that. And he has a purpose in that. There are requests that have been made. Pray that this virus goes away. Is that the right prayer? It's not a bad prayer, but is that the best prayer? I don't think so. How about if we pray that God fulfills his purpose? Did this take him by surprise? No. But we go through these things in order that God fulfills his purpose for the beginning and the end, for all time. He is powerful and willing, and Jesus proved it. There was a leper as Jesus was walking along, and he called out, "Jesus, Jesus, help me. Heal me." And Jesus came up to him and he said, "Master, if you are willing, you can make me whole." A man with leprosy that was ostracized from his family, from any friends, any communication with community. And he said, "If you're willing, Jesus, you can heal me." And Jesus said, "I am willing. Be whole. Be complete." And he was raised up and completely healed. He had the power. He was willing. He's compassionate. Jesus showed that. So this man that these people knew and crucified, Peter declared that they made the wrong choice. They were living with an agenda, but that agenda was the wrong one. We hear a lot about agendas today, don't we? That every group of people have an agenda, have something that they want to accomplish. And just because there's an agenda drawn up, presented on different television shows and radio talk shows, it doesn't mean that it's right, that it's the best one. They did what was right in their own judgment. And they were warped by the rabbi's teaching. The rabbis had learning. And that's one thing that they said about Jesus. "How can you speak with authority? Where did you get your learning?" It wasn't from the rabbis, was it? It was from the Father. He was always in communion with the Father. And so even though he didn't have the rabbi's teaching, in fact, a whole bunch of the rabbi's teaching was wrong. There's a man that has passed away now, but he fought during the Israeli independence war against the Muslim Arab nations around them that were going to throw Israel into the sea. And he became the Israeli evangelist, is how I looked at him. And he had an article in Friends of Israel magazine, Israel My Glory, every month. and Zvi Kalischer. And if you want to write it down, it's Z-V-I, however you say that, Zvi. And he would talk to especially the Orthodox young men. And they would say, where did you get your learning? Where did you study with any of our rabbis? And he said, no. You go to the rabbinical schools and they teach you the traditions of men. They teach you things that the rabbis have concluded. But I teach you from the Bible. And he'd point out the differences. And often he would turn them to Isaiah chapter 53. That the Lord Jesus bore our sin. And we're like sheep. We've gone astray, but the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. And when we think about the teaching that these people had, Jesus said that, John the Baptist, let's go back to him. He called them vipers. He called them snakes. He said they were teaching people the wrong thing. And so these people were warped by the rabbi's teaching. And so Peter pulled back a covering. He exposed the corruption that was really in them. And I thought of a story that I heard that kind of illustrates this. I had a very interesting wedding many years ago. And this couple loved the outdoors. We did a lot of outdoor things with them. And they asked me to perform the wedding down here at the beach. We've had a few weddings down there, and it's kind of a cool spot. The thing that's different about theirs, they wanted to sit in their kayaks. So they came down the river together, and they parked them up against the bank. And so went through the wedding ceremony, and they said their vows, and they took off on their kayaks. And their honeymoon then was extra interesting. Something's haywire here. Oh, there, it's back. Never mind. But they had a most interesting honeymoon because they had planned to go to Venezuela, take their kayaks, and kayak an uncharted river. And boy, did they have the stories when they came back. They survived. It was 500 miles. 500 miles on an uncharted river. And they came back. One of the stories that they told was, Ken got a sore toe on this trip. And it got all festered. And it was really getting painful. And so what he did was start picking at this toe. And there was a bulge on it. And he gets to picking. And it's more than a blister. And he opened that thing up. And there were maggots in it. Had no idea the corruption that was going on in his toe until the cover was pulled off, till the skin was broken. And they treated it. They pulled out all the maggots that they could find and treated it with whatever they had along, and he survived. He kept his toe. But, you know, when you pull back something like that, you're surprised. Oh, I didn't realize it was that bad. Well, how bad was it that these Israelites, people in this crowd that are hearing people, how bad is their corruption? How badly mistaken are they? Let's see what he says about it. He says that the true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. He's the true God. And he raised Jesus from the dead. But what did you do? You handed him over to be killed. You disowned him before Pilate. Even though Pilate had decided to let him go, you handed him over. You disowned the holy and righteous one, not a criminal. You asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life. Can you see him just jerking that covering back? They've been underneath this false teaching, and they thought, we did the right thing. Oh, yuck. this is a bad story. This is getting ugly. And without thinking today, people somehow need that layer of self-protection pulled back too. It's not uncommon to have people just use the word, the name Jesus as a cuss word. Complete disregard for the, what is he called? The Holy One. The Righteous One. The Son of God. The Author of Life. Well, God was not limited by the people, as you see. God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this by faith in the name of Jesus. This man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. This was a rebuke for the people, but there's also the statement that the faith was what healed the man. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. Well, the man was, he was lame. There was no way he was going to grow out. He's over 40. He's not going to grow out his condition. But it makes me ask, is there any hope? Can God change the lives of those that are pursuing a destructive agenda? Can God change people's lives even yet? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 9 through 11. So Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, 10, and 11. The core of a person. What a person says, this is just me. I was born this way. I was made this way. This is who I am. This is my core person. But God says, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexuals, homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. That word justified means that they were made acceptable in God's presence. There was no condemnation. They were in Christ. The core of a person can be redeemed. There is hope. Colossians, we go 1st and 2nd. Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and we get to Colossians chapter 2. And verse 9 and 10, Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. You have been given fullness in Christ. You have been made complete in Christ, who is the head over everything else. There was hope for these people. And then Peter says, now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance. In verse 17 of Acts 3. So Peter named their motivation. Why did they do what they did? It was ignorance. They didn't know. There were people that were listening to him that had tried to learn everything they could learn. They went to the synagogue. They went to the rabbi's classes. They tried to learn everything that they could learn. But they gained an inadequate knowledge of the truth. And since Jesus didn't fit their conversation, because when the Messiah comes, he will free us from Rome. Jesus didn't fit that. So they killed him. Kill the imposter. They didn't recognize him. Many people are living in ignorance of the Lord Jesus today, too. Can you believe that? In a nation where there's radio, Christian radio, there's Christian TV programming, and there are people who don't know a thing about Jesus. And I can say that with some authority. We had a young boy who was 9 years old come to Bible camp in Montana. And they came from a pretty wide area. You know, if anybody comes, he's come a long distance in Montana. But they came from all over. And at this Bible camp, we would share the gospel. We had Bible classes. We had a lot of activities and a lot of fun. But there was a 9-year-old boy that his counselor, his tent leader, brought him up to me, and I was the director at the time, and he said, "This boy has never heard about Jesus. What should we do?" And this is just a teenage kid that was leading these kids, this group, a particular group of kids. And he had never heard about Jesus. And so in the United States of America, here's this 9-year-old boy who had never heard about Jesus. And it was our privilege to tell him. And if I remember right, by the end of the week, because we really aimed to have everyone who left camp know the Lord Jesus. And so this 9-year-old boy was among those. I heard a story, it didn't happen to us, about a little girl that was invited by her friend to go to Sunday school. And she went. And she called her mother before Sunday school was over. And her mother came and got her. And the teacher, missing the girl, found her, and she was waiting out front for her mother to arrive and visited then with the mother. And the mother said, "My daughter called because you people here keep swearing. You use the name of Jesus. Well, you say Jesus Christ. Why do you swear at these kids?" That's the only way they'd heard the name, was as a cuss word. So we live in a country we think is permeated with the gospel. And there are people that just don't know. They don't watch religious programming. They're not interested in Christian radio. They are kind of interested in what these funny neighbors next to them do. But we can share Christ. Peter named their motivation, it was ignorance, and we live with that too. And he said, this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. And so he suffered at their hands. They called for his crucifixion. He was crucified. But he says, instead of saying, "You are unsavable, you are way beyond the reach of God," he never said that. He said, "You did it in ignorance." And people that are living lives of destruction today are living in ignorance. Ignorance of the true God, of the compassionate God, of God who created and loves his creation, and who would save them through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he gives the solution in verse 19. "Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. So God gives the blessing. He will apply the blessing of forgiveness and spiritual purity. So repent, and we go over this several times in the last weeks, but repent is to change your mind and change your direction. What did he say? Repent and turn to God. You can't go two directions at the same time. Your feet are going to point one way. And tread down that path. Turn to the Lord. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, we're told that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lives that are so far away from the Lord, maybe you've been told, as I have, God doesn't want me because I've done too many bad things. I've lived in the gutter. God doesn't want that kind of person. Who does the cleansing? It's not any of us. We didn't cleanse ourselves, but we confessed our sin and God forgave us and cleansed us, purified us from all unrighteousness. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10, it goes past that even. It's God says, you're worth something to me. You're part of my kingdom. And I've given you good works for you to do, which I ordained for you before the foundation of the world. Before ordained that you, before you do those. We turn to the last paragraph of Acts chapter 3. And I read it at the beginning. Indeed, at verse 24, indeed, all the prophets from Samuel on, as many as have spoken, have foretold these days. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you. Who was the you? It was the Jews. He sent him to you. And the Jews were to be the leaders and examples of the church. They were to be the ones that were going to take the church and take the gospel and run with it. They did at the beginning. They did. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, a verse that perhaps you know, and where Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile, to the Greek. And so to the Jew first, and the gospel always calls individuals to turn from their wicked ways. When God raised up his servant Jesus, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. That's the greatest blessing. That's the greatest blessing we can share with people. That's the greatest blessing that God gives us. Turn us from our evil ways. Forgive our sins. Take us out of a path of destruction and put us on the path to wholeness, completeness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's review the importance of responding to Jesus Christ. He died for our sins and arose from the dead, so death has no power over him. When we talk about not being afraid, and I think that was mentioned a few times during the share time this morning, not be afraid. There's nothing in this world that can take us out of the Lord's hands. There's nothing in this world that can interrupt his plan for us. There's nothing here that we need to fear. Now, we use caution. We want to be reasonable and not reckless. But there's nothing to fear, because Christ has beat death. Death has no power over Christ. We are in him. And the worst that can happen, if we want to put it that way, is to be with the Lord. whether it's persecution, whether it's nakedness, peril, or sword, he's got it covered. When we invite the Lord Jesus into our hearts, he forgives our sin, reconciles us to God, and eventually brings us to the safe haven that the Bible calls heaven. Heaven is our home with the Lord for eternity. Now, since this goes out and people that may not know the Lord may hear it, the invitation is for us to turn from our choice of living without God to inviting the Lord Jesus to come into our life for now and for eternity. The invitation is open. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what you've done for each of us in our lives. May we daily turn to you, look for our sustenance, our assurance, our strength. We thank you for your love in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's sing a little chorus of Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
Let's stand. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.